Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start with last night's battle for Los Angeles. First thing you learn when you move to Los Angeles is that the city of angels is not a good work environment. Too many distractions, too much good weather and beaches, too many things to do. There's a party every night in Los Angeles. Parties filled with celebrities, billionaires, wannabe Playboy models, and drugs. Los Angeles is a different kind of sports town. It doesn't have the work ethic and ingenuity of Boston and San Francisco, the grit of New Orleans and San Antonio, or the urgency of Dallas and New York. Los Angeles overwhelms you with its talent. I bring all this up to make a point about Kawhi Leonard's greatest advantage over LeBron James in the NBA war for LA. Kawhi is a native. The glitz and glamour of LA don't seduce Kawhi the same way they do James. It's easier for Kawhi to maintain focus. He's a basketball robot manufactured here in Southern California. His programming is quite different from James's. LeBron is an insecure fame junkie looking to prove to the world that he's more than an athlete. Basketball dominance no longer satiates LeBron's ego. The difference between the two superstars' personalities and roots are what separated the Clippers from the Lakers in their much-anticipated Christmas showdown. The Clippers won 111-106 because LeBron couldn't focus on the task at hand, and Kawhi could. Let's don't blame the Lakers' fourth straight loss on a couple of officiating calls that didn't go their way. And please, I don't want to hear anything about LeBron's alleged first-quarter groin re-injury. The Lakers lost because their leader fell in love with the three-point line. LeBron jacked up 12 threes. He hit two. The Lakers tossed up 45 total, sinking 12. That's not how the Lakers should play with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They're not Stephen Clay and Golden State. They're more modern-day Magic and Kareem. The Lakers played a dumb game, and they relaxed at halftime. Take a look at the final seconds of the first half. Davis flung a desperation three-pointer and fell into the lap of comedian Kevin Hart sitting courtside. The Lakers were leading by a dozen points as the horn sounded. Now look at LeBron James. He's standing at the end of the Lakers bench, positioning himself to walk into the tunnel for halftime. He then recognizes that AD and Hart have presented him with a potential viral moment. James darts across the court to sit in Hart's lap alongside Davis. That's a fame addict running to the fame pipe for another hit. Would Kawhi Leonard ever do that? Would Michael Jordan? Would Kobe? I'm not sure if the happy-go-lucky Shaquille O'Neal would do that in a regular season game that matters. You know who I could see doing that? Dwight Howard, Swaggy P, and Spike Lee. That's it. That's not the behavior of a great competitor. That's the behavior of an Instagram brand. It's Chad Ochocinco putting on a Hall of Fame jacket during a game. It's Terrell Owens doing sit-ups in his driveway. LeBron is still a great player in year 17. He's an MVP candidate. But in terms of winning championships, LeBron will leave the game an underachiever because he's never matched the all-time greats when it comes to maintaining focus. More than Jordan, Kobe, Magic, and Kawhi, LeBron has fallen in love with America's most powerful drug, fame. He's high on his own supply. That, more than age or an alleged groin re-injury, explains the difference between LeBron and Kawhi right now. All right. Joining the show now are Doug Gottlieb, who just co-hosted The Herd, and Yahoo Sports' Chris Haynes. All right, Marcellus, get us rolling here. Is LeBron's focus a problem for LeBron James?
Not at all. I think the birth certificate comes into play more than anything, but if you want to just focus in on last night and then try to extract from there, I don't think it's a focus issue. I took issue and took notice of some of the greats, Hall of Famers, champions before, who did things that we would deem not focused, but at the same time, we gave them their pass because of what they were up to or what the situation was. Let's start with Magic Johnson. who used to kiss his opponent before a game. And guess what? I didn't think that necessarily was in the bylaws of competition, but you know what?
My dad never liked that.
I never knew what to think of it, but I was just like, oh, it wasn't even the gender thing. It was the fact that you about to play him? Okay, all right, let that live. Michael Jordan, the greatest, to the tune of his focus issues, had to depart the game of basketball that he was focused on for a year or so to return back to it. Some will call that a retirement, but if you come back to something, you're not fully retired, so that could be deemed quitting, which is not necessarily part of focus. But I look at LeBron, who is now going to get charged with all these situations and allegations, living in a world where there's social media. And those guys were living in tape delay. some of them, none of them have social media. I don't think it's a focus issue. If anything, you just say, look, let's lean into his age.
Kawhi's got social media. Kawhi has social media.
Oh, yeah, and he does it in a different way, but we'll get to that. I don't want to be up all the time. But no, it's not a focus issue for me.
I knew when LeBron went and fell on Kevin Hart's lap. I knew. I said, first of all, he better win this game. Because if he doesn't, I knew this subject was going to be up for debate. I'll say this. LeBron is just different. You mentioned in Whitlock, which was great. I loved it. I actually did. I made some valid points. But he's different from the all-time greats that we all talked about with the Kobe, the Michael Jordan have the edge. He's done it a different way. And he still has the hardware to show for it. So
not as much.
I mean, three is pretty
three.
Good.
Three?
You can't sleep on three.
Yeah, but I mean, come
Magic
on,
got
come
five.
On, Larry Bird sitting there like, man. You better not sleep on three.
injured
Larry back. Bird's
back
broke down.
I don't care how he got there.
But it's still more three. Opportunities to go. Yeah. But I would say, there are people who feel like LeBron goes out of his way to make himself the show. You know, like, I've covered LeBron, so I've noticed for a while, like, when I was in Cleveland, you know LeBron enters the locker room because he has a big old, like, P.O. box playing music. So you know Bron is coming in. And then, you know, he did that last night where you know, okay, LeBron's about to come in. You know it before you even see it. And so that can rub some people the wrong way if they feel like he has to be the star of everything. And people say he was taking a moment away from AD. That happened organically. It happened naturally during the flow of the game. So I get it, but I have to understand, is LeBron a real big goofy kid? Yes, he is. But he still has three championships.
Three.
And that's nothing to sneeze about, Whitlock.
Can't do that.
No, but if you want to be considered the greatest player of all time, which he said in his own words, that he considers himself, because they came from 3-1 back, he considered himself the greatest player. That, no one's ever done that. I'm the greatest ever. You are who your best player is. Yeah. And in the biggest NBA game of the season, after losing the previous biggest NBA game of the season, just last Thursday night in Milwaukee, you're up at half. Go and get Anthony Davis and run into the locker room and let's go and dominate. Let's go and get it to 20 points. If the players see you acting like it's an all-star game, they're going to react in kind. You are who your best player is, especially in basketball. He's not a stone-cold killer. He does love trying to do everything. I'm with you, Whitlock. Like, look, you mentioned it. He not only had the music playing when he showed up in the locker room, you go back to last year when he was hurt. Remember, the team would come out, they'd get introduced, the game would start, then LeBron would come out. Why? He wanted his own ovation. You know, he shows up with a goblet of wine one day, you know, buzzed, watching the game. No one's ever done that. Why? Because LeBron thinks he's above it. He does. He thinks, he knows that he is popular, he is famous, he is the show. And the Clippers kicked their ass again last night at Staples Center. Like, look, dude and I are from here. We know, like, the idea that the Clippers are anywhere close to the equal of the Lakers is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. And they didn't do it because they were so great shooting threes. They did it with offensive rebounds, getting to the free throw line, and they kept the Lakers out of the lane and made them play to their weakness, which is shooting threes. I'm with you. I don't think focus is the sole issue. I do think that age is a good portion of it. But I do think that LeBron thinks, hey, I'm LeBron. I've always been able to figure it out. I can lock in when I want to lock in. I can do the team. There's a certain arrogance to when you get to L.A., you think you can do everything and still keep the main thing the main thing. But those guys are coming for you. And that guy, Kawhi Leonard, is much more wired like the previous guys who are stone-cold killers. And the only thing important is winning that game, and that's not LeBron.
And I think that the greatest of all time, generally speaking, aren't blessed with just an abundance of talent. Michael Jordan, extremely talented, but wasn't on his varsity team as a sophomore in high school or whatever. The guys that were bigger than him went drafted. It's a game that rewards size. And Michael had good size, but not great size.
Tom Brady, Joe Montana in football. The game bores LeBron sometimes. Mm. And that's where I think he loses focus. He gets bored. He has too much talent. Wilt Chamberlain, to me, had the exact same problem. And that's why Wilt, the most talented player other than LeBron, I think, to ever play basketball, left the game with fewer titles than the guys he was competing against and the other all-time greats.
Yeah, I hear you. I push back on the Jordan situation. He was a late bloomer, 6'6", yeah, with a 48-inch jump and quick short space skills. People who say he wasn't as talented, you got to kind of look at his measurables when he was Michael Jordan. I'm looking at the complexion of the killer, the stone cold killer, as it has evolved over the years. Because I remember growing up in Los Angeles, the pushback of Magic Johnson, who was a killer with a smile.
Exactly.
And people used to destroy him. Is he focused or not? Because why is he smiling all the time? Yeah. But guess what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. People stopped saying that as much. Then we got to Michael Jordan, who said, I'm going to be a killer with a smile, but my smile's coming once I leave this locker room. But on the court, I'm a stone cold killer. And then Kobe took the baton and said, I'm never going to smile. Guess what? I came in with the Coca-Cola afro, dating Brandy, and now I realize my brand is Never Smile, Black Mamba. So now you look at LeBron.
Well, he started not smiling after
Colorado.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Man, I know this. So look, let me be real about
it. Put the
context. But I said at first he came with the fro and the Brandy, and then it switched. So here's the thing. Now LeBron is like, I don't have to look for attention. I don't have to walk in the locker room saying, I'm here. Y'all already looking, so guess what I'm going to do with that? Shine it in the way, sometimes childlike ways, in which he wants to show his personality. But at the end, like all the others I just named, you're going to be able to count multiple championships that shows this guy is focused.
It's going to stop at 3. The count's going to stop at 3. This year.
Oh, it's done at 3.
Career.
Okay.
Yeah, he's done. I can take that.
And if that's the case, Whitlock, that is an amazing career. Is an amazing career. And
it's also underachieving for his talent.
Okay, we can call it that. But the way that championship he won against Golden State, coming back from a 3-1 deficit.
Ooh, right.
Nope.
No. Right.
You can't take anything from that. Yeah. And what I would say is about Michael Jordan, you know, I'm glad more information came about when it comes to Michael Jordan getting cut in high school, because I use that as motivation. I got cut my freshman year in high school, but I didn't realize till later on Michael Jordan was a sophomore, tried to make his varsity team.
Yeah.
He ain't supposed to make it.
You ain't supposed to be there.
You ain't supposed to, like, right. It wasn't like he was a junior,
right,
you know?
Right,
but,
right.
So it's a little different. But anyway, I will say this. To me, nobody will ever be able to take over Michael Jordan's reign as the number one basketball player of all time. That's me. And so I want to get that out there first and foremost. But if LeBron James, to me, was able to get one more championship, particularly with the Los Angeles Lakers. If it does happen, Whitlock and Doug, you have to put him in the debate. I can't argue with anybody if they say, oh, it's LeBron or MJ. I'd be like, you know what? I disagree. But at the same time, the hardware, the accomplishments, and the way he went through it, I can't dispute it.
Well, look, I don't want to get into the Jordan-LeBron thing or whatever. I do think they can win a championship. I thought the best part you made was the difference in him and Kawhi is Kawhi's from here, right?
Mm.
Like, when you pick a spot to live and you go and you go live in Brentwood, Brentwood's amazing. But nobody living in Brentwood is from L.A., right? Those are people from elsewhere. You live in those coastal cities, they're from somewhere else, and they dreamed of L.A., and that's their L.A. dream. Whereas Kawhi is the real deal, so he's not overwhelmed by it. He's not.
Kawhi is different, regardless. It has nothing to do with...
Well, that's great.
It has nothing to do with him being here from L.A. He's a different dude.
I agree. Yeah. I agree, but dudes from Riverside are wired different than people who move in here from Cleveland, right? Like, Riverside,
okay.
Riverside
right.
is real,
right, check this out.
Hardcore
I got one for
people.
You. How would James Harden do playing
with
for the Lakers or the Clippers?
It'd be a little different.
We
from
know,
L.A. Westbrook.
We know what James
I
like.
I don't know the strip club scene in L.A.
It's sketchy. So it's picking up,
I'm not familiar.
Look.
Barbie Coast.
Kawhi is definitely a different dude.
Yeah.
There's no, and his ability to focus and his ability to be a robot is, to me, separating him from LeBron James. The question now is, did he prove last night that he's clearly better than LeBron James right now?
Yeah, he did. For anybody who hasn't been watching basketball for 2 years, like last night was an epiphany. Whoa, Kawhi's better than LeBron.
Oh, you think he was already there?
Man, stop. Of course he's been already. Like Michael Jordan at his camp that he had in Santa Barbara 2 years ago said, yeah, Kawhi's the best two-way player. And I start saying, why don't they just say he's the best player? Because there's no other way to play basketball. You either play offense,
you play three-way player.
You play three-way player.
So special teams.
Right. How long have we been saying Kawhi's the best two-way player? For a minute. Now, for me, the championship should have shut up all the naysayers, but still they're looking for all these moments to say that LeBron is still the best. Look, you could be an apologist, and I love LeBron for so many things, but one thing I'm not going to do as an athlete is sit there and lie to you and say you're better than you are. You were, you're not anymore. Take it, look in the mirror.
The reason the finals didn't shut everybody up because Kevin Durant was out, LeBron James wasn't in it. So that's the reason. And nobody's talking about Toronto anymore anyways. With that being said, yes, right now, like today,
and yes,
Kawhi,
and
today.
And the day before.
Today, but I don't know. I don't know, I don't know if I can say this in January. I don't know if I can say this in 2 weeks when LeBron James is healthy.
Do you think LeBron's going to get more healthy through the season at 34, turning 35 than he is?
I think he'll get more healthier than he is right now.
You think he's unhealthy right now?
Yes, yes.
You think if they had won, we would have heard a word about his groin?
Yeah, I think we will have.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He hurt his groin from a charge. Yeah. That one was weird. Look, Durant was the best player on earth in the two NBA finals. He was the MVP. He was a better player in the second half of most of those four out of the five games. You know, Durant was
the
better
player. I'm not going there.
Oh, but I believe that. Yeah. And I believe he became a two-way player when he went to Golden State.
I'm with you.
But look, let's not argue Durant.
All that help?
Let's not argue Durant. He didn't have help. But the first year, LeBron had plenty of help. He had Kyrie, he had Kevin Love, he had Tristan Thompson, and Kevin Durant, they guarded each other, and one guy scored in the second half, and the other guy didn't. One guy's team won, the other guy
didn't. They all have help.
Okay.
Kareem was
there.
No
one's ever done it by themselves.
Pippen was there. Like,
Magic never won without Kareem.
Thank you.
So,
let's not do this.
But to answer your question, yes.
Magic won the NCAA title without Kareem.
But to answer your question, yes. Look, the big difference is this. LeBron can't keep people in front, can't guard the top of the league anymore. He's very cerebral and he's a leader defensively and he tells everybody else what to do and he can occasionally make a play and get a rebound, but he can't really guard. Couldn't guard Giannis the other night, can't guard Kawhi last night. That's one. The other part is on offense, he can't get to the spots he wants to get to. You listen to all these guys talk after the game, they talk about getting to their spots. KD always talked about it. Kawhi always wants to get to his right hand to that 18-foot jump shot. LeBron just, the reason he's settling for threes is, and maybe it's the groin, but this has been a problem even before the groin earlier this year against the better teams they played against. He can't get to his spots. He doesn't have that burst. Some of it's how they're playing him, where he's not playing as much downhill because they're not really a pick and roll team. They're kind of a mishmash parts that they're trying to figure out. But a lot of it is age and explosiveness. Kawhi's the better player. Both times they matched up, I think a blind man could
see. I'm glad you're saying this because getting to your spots is one of the first symptoms of, you're starting to have attrition. You're starting to go down the hill. Age is kicking in. Because if you look at it from a defensive perspective, as you go into any NBA locker room before the game, there's the whiteboard up with the percentages and the player's name next to it. This is where he wants to go. LeBron's an elbow playmaker. You get him to the elbow, he's going to either drive from that position or make plays. Don't allow him to get to that position. So, one, you can't get to your spots. And then when you're old, you start to pick your spots. What starts to happen? I'm guarding you. 48 possessions, guess what? I'll concede 20, but then I'm going to try to make some spectacular ones to remind everyone I'm still great. LeBron's in that position now. Younger LeBron never had to pick
a spot.
The
only thing I would say, and we're running out of time here, is I think when you have LeBron's gift, you change your spots later in life. And that's what he's not willing to do, and I think it's because he's distracted and not focused. Anytime they put Patrick Beverly on him, that man should have been right down there in the
post.
Paint.
Just punished, like Kevin Durant, punished. Where he said, I'm just going to score
punished
over
three.
You.
So you change your spots. He's not willing to do that. He wants to float around the three-point line. He just wants to have fun out there. He just wants to go sit in Kevin Hart's lap.
He also,
all
they,
that other
they
stuff.
Play too slow because he's so busy
he's
taking.
There.
Yeah. Their pace is
but
way
don't,
up.
Don't do that. Last night's not an indictment on that. With a groin injury, you realize I can't dribble drive. So guess what? I'm
with an alleged
12-3.
Just
shoot 12-3.
Alleged. Or if you just say alleged, I'm good. Alleged groin injury.
Wow.
joined now by Fox NFL analyst TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion Brady Papinga. Time now for a big story, sponsored by KFC's $20 fill-ups. Order ahead or get it delivered at KFC.com. All right, let's move to Dallas, where the Cowboys need to beat the Redskins Sunday to have any hope of sinking into the playoffs. But Dak Prescott's injured shoulder is still a major concern after the QB missed practice yesterday. Reportedly, Dak might not throw at all before the game, and all Jason Garrett had to say was that he's hopeful Dak is able to go on Sunday. All right, the question here is, does Dak's health mean the Cowboys could lose to the lowly Redskins, Cowboys 10.5-point favorites?
It actually does suggest that, because if you follow the logical train of events that occurred last week, Dak didn't practice, and then Dak didn't play well. But Dak also said post-game that he didn't feel his shoulder and wouldn't blame his shoulder. So what do they do this week? Dak is not practicing. So what am I supposed to logically think to fill in that blank? Maybe Dak won't play well again. And then he's going to say it's not the shoulder again, but it has to be the shoulder, because that wasn't Dak Prescott who he was this year in terms of body of work. So I don't have confidence going into this game. And so much of this game is will, confidence, upstairs between the ears. And right now, if I'm a Dallas Cowboy, I don't have a lot of confidence.
Nah, they can't lose this game. No chance. They still have a chance to make the playoffs. Small chance. Mm. If Dak isn't healthy, you know what they're going to do? They have to rely on that offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott.
Last week?
Well, you're going against the Redskins. You know how many yards the Redskins gave up last week?
Tell me.
To the Giants? 190 to Saquon Barkley on the ground. 190. The week before that? 120. The week before that? 130 on the ground. So if Dak isn't healthy, you got to rely on where all your money is. Up front on the O-line and Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, the problem is the Dallas Cowboys are extremely inconsistent. I mean, the last five games, they've only scored two games where they didn't score touchdowns.
Right, right.
And they had their offensive line. They even had Dak Prescott playing some good football. So, to me, because of their inconsistency, even if Dak is playing, they could still lose this game.
They playing the Redskins. Like, y'all act like they playing the Rams, or they playing the Redskins.
They're playing the Redskins, but this is an extremely boomer bust team with the Cowboys. I'm telling you, they could go lay an egg quick. I'm sorry.
A couple times, like you said, in the last five games.
I don't know what to think of these guys. I don't know if they're Super Bowl contenders or not.
I do think the Redskins are going to have a little motivation. Case Keenum's getting a start, chance to save some face, breathe some life into his career, perhaps, if he can play well. Adrian Peterson has a shot at going over 1,000 yards at 34 years of age. So I do think the Redskins are going to be motivated. But I would be I think if as long as Dak takes the field, I can't see them losing this game. I think their defense will show up enough to bother Washington, keep them out of the end zone. And then, and this is where I will agree with you, Marcel, as you've been saying for weeks, at some point, Zeke Elliott has to earn his contract and prove his worth. Mm-hmm. And it's late in the year, but he has to do it this Sunday. Carry this team. They gave him a bunch of money. He can't have one of these 47-yard performances.
Yeah, but Case played against them the first game, even though they lost to the Cowboys. Case Keenum seeing them again. I'm thinking the Cowboys will win this game. But the question is, could they lose to the Redskins? You're damn right they can lose to the Redskins. One, it's the topsy-turvy NFC East. Whatever you think's going to happen, that's not going to happen. Somehow, some way, the formula is going to work out where the Cowboys win and the Eagles lose, and we're sitting there like, what? What a backpedal to an NFC East championship game. But for them on the field, last five games, I'm glad you pointed out, no touchdowns in two of them. Last five games, Dak Prescott's 1-4. 59% completion percentage. Dak Prescott's not even been the same before the shoulder. Now we're talking about with the shoulder. Yeah, they could lose.
The only way I can go with your argument is I'm going to go against myself here, is the Giants play the Eagles at the same time the Cowboys play the Redskins. Now, they're going to be scoreboard watching as much as, we're going to concern ourselves.
Yeah.
If they look up and they see the Eagles are killing the Giants, they might just say, our season is over. Mm. That's how they can lose. If it's a close game and they see that the Eagles are playing the Giants in a tight game, they're going to be ready to play. And so that's the only way I can see it. They look up and see that it's a blowout, they'll just say, our season's over, we can't go to the playoffs.
All right, Darnell, is there a Super 6 with the Redskins-Cowboys this weekend?
Yes, sir, there is. And before the games kick off on Sunday, be sure to download the Fox Sports Super 6 app and play for free for your chance to win Terry Bradshaw's $250,000. Like you just said, Redskins-Cowboys is one of the matchups. Let's help our fans win some money. Give us a winner and a score.
I think the Cowboys win 27-20. They do not cover the spread, but they do win the game.
Cowboys beat them by 10 last time. Redskins gonna look better, only lose by 5, okay? So it's 23-18, Cowboys.
I'm gonna go Cowboys 30-17.
I'm going Cowboys too. I think we're gonna see the good side of it, 31-14.
Time now for Dat Dude's Dude.
Yes.
Marcellus, what you got?
Man, look at us. Starting the old line right up here, me and Whitlock.
Christmas fat.
2 tons of fun. I got you, brother. Let's start off number 3, Deion Dawkins. Big man moves.
Woo.
Bills Mafia up here. Bills line up in super jumbo goal line. Watch my man Deion Dawkins. Slips out the side door, catches a big touchdown just before halftime. Oh, don't you hurt him right now. No, we're going to see. It's going to be food everywhere. He don't know buffalo wings, clam chowder, donuts, dessert. Oh, that's chocolate cake. Soft touch right here. Dawkins looking on both sides, both shoulders looking for the ball in the hands.
Man, body control.
Skill, look at that. Doesn't even bring it in. Better than TJ when he used to catch the ball. Didn't even bring it in. He got in the club with him. Watch him go back with it. Yeah. Big dog, you know who you are. Deion Dawkins, number 3, that dude of the week. Let's go to number 2. DeMario Davis breaking you. DeMario Davis plants Taylor Lewan on his back before sacking Ryan Tannehill. Good Lord. You got to bring your booty. Taylor, if you're going to jump out there, you got to bring your butt with you, coach. He's always saying,
oh,
he did not. He just thought about it, but didn't bring the body with him. And now he's going to get caught up in that electric boogaloo on the back spinning. Look at a pure mess boogaloo shrimp out there. DeMario Davis. Ooh, I love you.
People that hate dude. Taylor Lewan. They love that highlight.
Right, yeah. Number 2. And number 1, T.J. Watt. All ball. I mean, all ball. T.J. Watt. Beast tackle Brandon Shell around the edge. Drill Sam Darnold. Comes away with the ball. The younger Watt doing it all. You know it. I'm better than my brother. I'm better. Richard Dent chop right here. Watch this Richard Dent old school chop. Ooh. Tackle got the hands. Grabs the arms. Get upfield to the quarterback. But let's see how he did it because he had to do some Bruce Lee accommodation. Absorb what is useful. Discard what is not. Add what is uniquely your own Bruce Lee. What does that mean? Dead shoulder. Ain't no shoulder there. Oh, turn the corner right there. That accommodation move. And watch Sam Darnold with the googly eyes. Ooh, y'all thought he hit the ball, but he hit all ball. All ball. All ball.
Plural.
TJ Watt, that dude is the
winner. All right, thank you, Marcellus. That was awesome. All right, let's move to Seattle, where the Seahawks host the 49ers with a lot on the line in the NFC. San Francisco can lock up home field with a win, but will fall to a wild card spot with a loss, while Seattle can still find a way to take over the NFC's top seed. But both teams need to rebound after late season drop-offs, with Russell Wilson looking like a shell of his early season MVP form, while the Niners' vaunted defense has fallen apart in recent weeks. All right, who's going to bounce back on Sunday? Russell Wilson or the 49ers defense?
I'm going with Russell Wilson, who's never lost to these 49ers at home, 7-0. I'm going with Russell Wilson because the band is back. And I love going on cruises. I don't know about y'all, but you ever go on that cruise and see that top deck and that band is together? Oh, they play some music to your ears. So I think this is what's going to happen. And for anybody up here thinking they're going to go with the 49ers, it's not just the injuries that caught up to them. It's the schedule. And people predicted this. Remember after their first 8 games, people was like, this schedule is going to get daunting. What happened? Seahawks, Cardinals, Packers, Ravens, Saints, Falcons, Rams. Tougher teams in there, sprinkled in there. And all of a sudden, we saw the decline of this defense. So it's going to be Russell Wilson, who's never lost to this team, continuing that streak.
Man, I'm going with the Niners defense.
Oh, here you go. You hear me?
I'm going with – you got Travis Homer going to be your running back. Hopefully, Marshawn can bring you something. Hopefully, Robert Turbin can – Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll wants to run the ball. As long as Russell Wilson has been there, he's never given the keys to the offense to Russell Wilson and said, okay, here, we're going to go as far as you take us. He wants to run the ball. Who are you running the ball with? Mm. Who are you going to run the ball with? And you say the band back together, unless Richard Sherman is going into the other locker room, it's part of the band is back together. And so right. I look at it. And that
they got Tito, not Jermaine.
Not Jermaine.
Give me a tissue. And the schedule did get tough, but the 49ers have handled it like champs. You're going to lose some games when you play good teams, but they have so much to play for. that's a number one seed, that's getting a bye in the playoffs, they're going to be ready to play in. I don't care how many games they lost to the Seattle Seahawks. The 49ers have been trash, and they're not trash
But didn't
anymore.
They have that same motivation when they saw Atlanta?
Yeah.
They had so much to play for.
It's a little letdown.
Okay, here comes another one.
A little letdown.
The problem is, at that time, the defense of the 49ers, they were just, you're going to have games that you're going to have kind of train wrecks on. So I'm going with you. I'm going with the 49ers. I think they're going to bounce back because I don't care. Marshawn Lynch is coming back, but come on. The guy's been eating Skittles the last 3 or 4 months.
Man,
he hasn't been playing in any games.
Stop.
The guy, I get it. When he played, the guy was a headache. Every time I tackle the guy, all I remember is seeing stars. That dude's head is made of steel, but you got to be in some kind of football shape. Marshawn Lynch isn't in football shape. Mm. And Russell Wilson, like you said, TJ, he needs that element to complement his game. I don't believe he's a guy that could just go out there with the defense knowing, hey, they're going to throw the ball a game, and he's going to be able to go out and deliver. There needs to be some element, like the running game, to keep a defense honest. So I'm going with that 49ers defense.
This is a coin flip for me. Mm. I think it's a very tough call. I'm going to bet on the 49ers defense because I think Seattle might be the most overvalued team in football. They're 11-4 with a plus 12 point differential. Plus, they've only outscored their opponents by 12 points, and they have 11 victories. They've done a lot of magical stuff. They've had good fortune fall their way to be 11-4. I think Marshawn coming back is a smokescreen, a distraction. It's going to provide false hope. I just don't think you can walk off the streets after being inactive for, 18 months or whatever. And so I expect the 49ers defense to have its way with a team that's going to struggle to run the ball. Nick Bosa, that group of defensive linemen are going to pin their ears back and get after Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, that's a strong point, and that's a point that you've made earlier in the season about the Seahawks, talking about those close games and how it was just a coin flip from them having a worse record than what we see right now in 11 wins. There's something about, one, traveling to the Northwest latter part of the season. This is week 17. You may have some elements to deal with. You may have a team that has now have a newfound energy because they know their backs are against the wall as well. San Francisco in the last 8 games, won 5, lost 3. A couple of them were like, this is going to make us lose confidence in you as a whole. We don't know what they are because they're in uncharted territory. This is a 4-win team that's won 12 games. We don't know how far they're going to go. I think there's a little bit of early anointing of the San Francisco 49ers that now we have to bring it back to the pack.
Once 24 runs onto that field and he gets in the huddle, this is Marshawn Lynch. Mm. He's going to give an emotional lift to that crowd, yep, to the team.
Yep.
Now, once that emotion wears off,
and they hand him the ball,
now we got to play football. And so
that fast,
he's gonna be like, "Oh man!"
And so
I need some Skittles. I need an injection of energy.
You can't play on emotion the whole game. And the 49ers win this game, they get a bye. They got a lot on the line. The Seahawks, they're playing regardless next weekend. And so I look at it from that perspective. The Niners are the better team.
Whitlock and Wiley, TJ Husmanzada, and Brady Papinga are back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's move to the Bucks QB, Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
He was going through one of the most up and down seasons ever. He could become the first ever member of the NFL's 30 for 30 club. That's 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions.
I ain't talking to y'all.
But now he might be chasing a different kind of $30 million a year, which is reportedly what he's looking for in his next contract. I want to ask you guys, would Jameis be crazy to demand this?
Well, I looked at the report, and the guy that put it out has some credibility, but I hope Jameis isn't looking for $30 million. I hope he doesn't demand $30
million.
We're about to see 30 interceptions for the first time. That does not warrant $30 million a year. I think he'd be crazy.
I don't think he'd be crazy. If you own a bad house in a good neighborhood, and that's what the asking price is for what you got in terms of service, in terms of what the marketplace dictates.
Jameis is a good house?
Yes. No, it's a bad house.
Oh.
It's a damn good neighborhood being a quarterback. A nice neighborhood. That's Beverly Hills. When you say I'm a QB, one of 32, nice neighborhood. I don't give a damn if you want or 32. So, yeah, he would be smart to actually demand this. Any negotiation, you always start high. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you're standing on. But more importantly, the questions that are asked in every negotiation go past the objective numbers. So he's going to go out there and say, yeah, I'm in the 30-30 club, but you know what? I'm leading the league in yards, second in touchdowns, passing touchdowns thrown. So I have some good numbers to support me, some good comps. And then they start to go away from the conversation of numbers and say, is Jameis serious? Is Jameis committed if we don't listen to his demands? And everyone knows in court, negotiations can't be held against you in a court of law. So whatever I say doesn't matter. It's about what I agree to. So if Jameis, you're smart, your agent's smart, use your good comps and start high. I would do it.
Man, he would be crazy not to ask for $30 million a year. Yeah. Like, you trying to get as much as you can get. Now, whether there's a team out there willing to give it to him is another story, and it's what you said. 30 for 30. I don't believe he'll throw two interceptions this Sunday. I don't believe
he's going to throw four.
Yeah, I'm about to say, that's in the first quarter.
I'll give him one. His trick. I'm going to give him one.
Last game, two pick sixes. One got called back in the first quarter.
First pass of the game. I'm wishful thinking. But it's what you said. You're going to accentuate the positives.
Yeah.
He's going to lead the league in passing. And there is a team and there's a coach out there that says, man, I like the way Jameis throws the ball.
Absolutely.
If I can get him on my team, I can help him cut down on these interceptions. That's all it takes is one team. But Jameis, demand 35. You're not going to get it, but start high, and hopefully you'll end at 30.
Yeah, you made the point. Is you have so many coaches, offensive coaches, that have a lot of pride, that they're like, hey, that guy right there, his arm talent, his ability to move in the pocket, his intelligence, which that's what you hear a lot about, Jameis Winston or all those things. I can work with that. We can diminish the interceptions, and we can turn him into this elite quarterback. That's the mentality of most offensive coaches throughout the league. His agent knows that. He knows that. And asking for $30 million isn't – it's really not that big of a deal when you consider that the meat of the contract in the NFL is what's guaranteed. I'm going to guarantee this. Nobody's going to guarantee him money like they did Kirk Cousins. But they may pay him $30, $35 million a year on paper.
Yeah.
But it's a play-as-you-go deal to where if the wheels fall off and he does throw a bunch more interceptions like he does now, they can get out from under the contract and move on.
I just think the thing you guys are missing is that conventional thinking of, oh, let me get a hold of Jameis. It went out the window because coaches now are saying, damn, Bruce Arians couldn't get anything out of Jameis. He couldn't cut down the interceptions. Mm. I just don't think there's a bunch of coaches sitting there going, oh, yeah, I'll get it out of him. I'll cut away. Because they don't want to cut away half of these 30 interceptions he's going to throw. They want to cut away like three-fourths of them.
Yeah,
the elite quarterbacks in the league are throwing 6 or 7, 8 interceptions a year for the entire season. And so can you really take Jameis from – he's at 28 now – I expect him to get to 30. I can't wait for that moment. It's going to be like Hank Aaron hitting the home run record or whatever.
Man, I ain't doing it.
But I can to get this dude from 30 down to 8, that's like climbing Mount Everest.
Do you think this year is like an anomaly, though? Like, he's averaged 15 interceptions a year until this year. Now he's at 28. So if you can cut those, some teams might take
he's
that.
He's trending the wrong way, TJ.
Well, he's only trending that way. Let's be real about Bruce Arians. Everyone loves him as an offensive coach, a guru, but he comes with the risk factor. So this is the thing about Bruce Arians. This was his narrative. He's going to take the long ball shots, but that's going to come at sometimes your detriment. And then he combines forces with Jameis Winston, who was known to turn the ball over. And here's the positive of both of those situations. If you look at Jameis Winston, if he's your quarterback, he's going to throw the 50-50 ball. That's one thing I love about Jameis. I will say that as a positive attribute. And yep. You don't think that's good?
They call it 40-60 when Jameis goes.
I ain't got a comeback like for that. But as Dez Bryant, if he suffered from not getting thrown the 50-50 ball, once Romo left and Dak came in being super conservative, Dez went away because he needs those 50-50 balls. A lot of receivers, and Jameis has a lot of bigger, stronger 50-50 aerial receivers. They love that. So I'm looking at Jameis, who never had a supporting defense. Let's be real. 31st, 30th, 26th, 22nd, and 15th in terms of points and scoring defense. He's never had a defense to support his efforts. You give him 5 more points, he gets 3 more wins.
Those defensive guys are saying, we've never had a quarterback that puts us on the field as often as Jameis. Joined again by Doug Gottlieb and TJ Houston's out of time now for the most fearless discussion of the day. All right, yesterday, 2 hours before tip-off of the Clippers-Lakers Christmas showdown, LeBron James's Twitter feed announced that LeBron's 5-year-old daughter, Zuri James, would launch a YouTube page, All Things Zuri. The tweet stated, "She needs no introduction to the world, but I'm excited for all of you to meet my princess, Zuri Nova, through her eyes. All things Zuri coming soon. Subscribe." The tweet linked to an introductory commercial with James's daughter explaining her show. Take a look.
Hey guys, my name is Zuri James. Welcome to All Things Zuri. I'm excited to share my world with you. My mom and dad are so cool. You might know them. And I have two brothers named Brody and Bryce. And I have a friend bulldog named Indigo.
All right, LeBron and I have divergent views on fame. He loves it, I hate it. He clearly believes there's a great benefit to fame. That's why he's giving the gift of fame to all of his kids. I think it's reckless and irresponsible. Why invite strangers into the world of a five-year-old or any child? LeBron's kids are not strapped for cash. This isn't Joe Jackson working factory jobs in Gary, Indiana, and managing his kid's singing career in his spare time. The future Jackson 5 lived in a two-bedroom home in one of the poorest cities in America. This isn't even LeVar Ball training his three boys in a backyard in Chino Hills. Hell, this ain't Kim Kardashian befriending Paris Hilton and leaking a sex tape. You know what this is? It's the real-life Truman Show. You know the movie the actor Jim Carrey starred in as the unwitting character in a reality show. LeBron is the producer of his own Truman Show. It's sad. LeBron is worth $500 million. He's athletic royalty. His kids were set for life at birth. They can aspire to be far more than famous. Fame is fleeting and high risk. History is littered with stories of children ruined by fame. Michael Jackson, Macaulay Culkin, Will Smith wanted his kids to be famous. Fame is a heavy burden for a well-adjusted adult. It can be lethal for kids and ungrounded adults. In my opinion, fame is a status sought by the insecure. Thanks to his basketball talent, LeBron has had so much financial success that I don't think he's ever addressed the foundational emotional issues derived from his dysfunctional childhood. He's the Donald Trump of basketball. Fame, particularly social media fame, makes LeBron feel good about himself, so he's giving it to his kids. Mm. All right, before we dive fully into LeBron, I just want to start with, do we think fame is a good or bad thing?
I think fame's a great thing. I think fame is a light that shines on whatever you want to put under it. And the real issue people have is what's under that light, not necessarily the light that is shined on it. So fame can just give an engine to whatever that is. And that engine can be too much power for you, or it could be just what you need to fuel you to whatever your goals are. So I don't blame the light. I don't blame fame. I blame those people in that situation who don't have the proper guidance, proper character, proper development. And that comes from a village. That doesn't come from that individual just in that light. So just in short, answering that question, I love fame.
It's dangerous. It's really dangerous. I do think it's a valuable thing to have, at least in our profession, right? You don't want to walk into a room and no one knows who you are.
I would. I'd love it.
Yeah, but I don't think, I don't, no, I don't.
It wouldn't be telling on this show then.
No, listen, your commentary wouldn't resonate. You'd just be an outspoken guy that says stuff.
Well, I want to be famous during these 90 minutes.
Right. So there's an appropriate level of fame.
The other 22 minutes. The hour, yeah, I get you.
I think fame is dangerous because go to any stadium when they flash the camera around, the red light is on. People act out of their minds, right? And you don't want a child trying to process life is hard enough. And I'm the child of one of the biggest sports superstars we've ever seen, and all of a sudden also have to process life while being under the spotlight of a camera. I think it's very, very difficult. I do think that it has its value. I mean, it's given us everything that we have, at least given me personally, everything that I've had after a very average college basketball playing career. But I think it's a very dangerous thing because we have a tendency to lose ourselves within it and lose sight of what reality is. Reality on TV is not reality in real life. And when you watch the Kardashians and how they can just go and get whatever they want and do whatever they want, that's not real life. Maybe the James gang, it doesn't apply to them so they can be like the Kardashians. I think it has value, but it is a very dangerous thing.
I believe fame is a great thing. It's actually not a good thing if you're grounded and it's handled and channeled the right way. And when you're a child, you have to have parents that can kind of guide you through it and try to take away the missteps that are going to happen. When you're an adult, and I'll give a story, and I'll never forget this. It was my rookie year in the league, and we go to a mall in Cincinnati. It's myself, it's Chad, it's Peter Warwick, it's Ron Dugan. So we're walking through Tri-County Mall in Cincinnati.
Chad is Chad Johnson.
Chad Johnson.
Yeah. Yep.
And so everybody comes up to Peter Warwick. Like me, Chad, and Ron Dugans, we just standing. They want pictures. They want autographs. They're like, y'all play? We're like, yeah. They ain't want nothing from us. Mm. And so later on, me and Chad are talking like, damn. They don't even know who we are.
That's nice.
And so when you're in that situation, you want to be acknowledged. You want that acknowledgement from what you do. And so when you finally get it, you have to, as long as it's handled the right way.
Yeah, but like any vehicle.
But like that's like people say like, yeah, but I take drugs, but I handle it the right way. I do, you know, it's like
No.
It is a drug. Fame is a drug. Okay, it is a...
No, and it's a substance that is not necessarily
completely
a drug.
Different.
Yeah, it doesn't have the physiological impact that a drug does.
It doesn't?
No.
It doesn't make you feel good? If you walk into a restaurant, okay? No. You walk into a restaurant with your family, and no one can get a table.
Yeah.
And they go like, Marcellus Wiley? Blah, 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 blah. Right this way, sir.
Yeah.
And you're walking through, and you're thinking about where you grew up and where you are now.
Right.
Like, that is an amazing feeling.
I think it works just like people would say about social media, that like button and all
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, the dopamine effect.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
I know that.
Fame.
Yeah, but that is still minor, and that is still a choice. I've been around real famous people. I'm not famous. When I'm around Kobe.
Stop it.
No.
Kobe is a different
There's
level
levels
of fame.
Okay, of fame.
I agree.
There's
I agree.
Levels.
Thank you.
I agree.
Denzel. Tom Cruise, and when you see these people in their normal day-to-day lives who are not on TMZ, who are not living that life of fame, but they're famous. But guess what? Fame can be turned off easily. I see it on the daily because I'm a native, and my son goes to school with some super famous people, billionaires and all that. And you know what? They're normal. They're at drop-off. They're at pickup. No one's chasing with cameras because they don't elect to use their fame in that direction. So it is a part of your election. You take a drug, you don't have a choice. The drug is taking you where it's supposed to go. Fame, you don't have to run with the fame. You don't have to chase your fame.
I it's been a narrative of mine on the show for, I don't like fame. I think it does delude you. I think that people fall in love with it and then chase fame and change their behavior and depart from who they were raised to be in pursuit of fame. And so for me, I just don't see fame as any sort of positive. I respect celebrities who try to protect control their level of fame and try not to let fame take them off in a path. But I've just seen so many people, in my view, crushed by fame or deluded by fame, unable to express any self-awareness because of their fame.
But then there's also the opposite side of that. People that are really famous, they use their platform to benefit others. And so as long as it's channeled and you can help people, you can try to help. I mean, you look at LeBron, the school he started. There's people that has been
school,
his name.
The state of Ohio started and he contributed to. Go
but ahead. If he didn't,
yes,
get behind
he didn't get behind
it's
it,
not
it
a school.
Happened. I mean, like, look, I agree with you. He's not sitting there shelling out and doing everything. But he does use his platform for good. Okay? But this is, and I know I'm getting ahead of ourselves with
the
discussion.
Well, let's just go there.
Let's go.
Do we like LeBron launching a YouTube channel for his 5-year-old daughter?
Love it. Let me tell you, one of the greatest goals of every parent is that your kids can do better than you, can do it better than you did it, whatever those things are. So in totality and even in just day-to-day steps, you want that. And LeBron is fulfilling that goal. Let's be real about who LeBron is. He's a child star who wasn't allowed to capitalize on his success early because of the times. He was ahead of his times. Be real. LeBron's on ESPN. LeBron is already getting this.
LeBron's driving a Hummer and well taken care of as a child.
And based on his value at that time, he was
getting underpaid, but he's well taken
That's
care
my point. Yeah. So LeBron is now sitting there like, hey, I was at 16 and I got this much. But now I know what that really looks like in terms of what I can do with platform and amplify that. So here's the example. Y'all have ever seen Ryan Toy's review on YouTube?
Bruh.
That 8-year-old dude that's making $26 million a year. And let me tell you why that's important. Because in today's times, this is the same world where Toys R Us's are going out of business left and right. But then there's someone who's capitalizing on that same marketplace by doing it this way. LeBron has come to the calculation, my children can maximize who they are by letting them have their brand and platform be exposed. Now, as long as he continues to be the father he is and guide and control them in these situations till they get to their own level of understanding, this is a beautiful thing.
I like it, and I have no problem with it. I have a 7-year-old daughter. I have a 5-year-old son. They're on YouTube a lot. This is what's happening. This new generation. It's YouTube.
They watch
it's social media. Yep. LeBron is building a family empire.
Yeah.
And that's okay as long as they can get their kids to understand these are things that could let's not go down this road. We're going to stay down this road. We're going to try to shield you away from certain things. On YouTube, you can disable comments. On yep. social media, you can disable
all the
comments.
Will Smith and Jada did.
And people that have made mistakes, you hopefully try to learn from those so
Joe
you
Jackson
don't make
did
those
mistakes. His kids, were they happy?
It was completely different. Well, Joe Jackson wealthy. Needed the money. LeBron very doesn't wealthy. Need the money. The Ryan Toy review, he's making more than 90% of guys in the NBA.
I just don't think wealth equates to happiness.
I think it's really dangerous. I just do. I don't think it's a great idea. And look, she's adorable, and I'm sure the content will be adorable. I will. It'll be totally inoffensive, and it'll be LeBron and his wife portraying themselves as the perfect American family. And there's nothing wrong with the perfect American African-American family in Los Angeles coming from nothing and making it. It's just, you know, again, it's just a super dangerous thing. I have twin daughters that are 13 years old, and I'm telling you, the moment we give them Instagram was the moment they suddenly became happy and unhappy because you see your friends doing stuff that you have FOMO. Right, you move from Connecticut, you see them getting together, your new friends, you think of your friends, they're hanging out with other friends. YouTube obviously is different, and I do understand the family empire, but the empire is already built.
No, it's not built.
You can always add on and continue to build.
You always think that poor only can become rich. How about rich become richer?
Of course.
How about the Walton family saying in there, we're the richest empire because we shared it within our own family.
I get it, but I just, not
what,
everyone.
What's the win?
More.
Not everyone defines themselves by their paycheck and by how much money they acquire. There are just as many unhappy, unhealthy, unadjusted, super wealthy people as there are the working poor,
right.
or working class.
So why
people.
Be broke if you're going to be the same?
They're not going to be broke.
Hold on. Broke is not just the fact that what we have is what have I contributed to our growth. What if the little girl said, Daddy, I want to do X?
She's 5 years old.
And guess what? You support at 5 years old. Do you have a 5-year-old? I got a 4-year-old.
So look, this is what happens.
They know what they like.
She sees how involved he is with his sons. So he wants to... Oh, I want to do that. So as a father, you're going to do...
I can't, but
we all want our kids
everything.
To be successful.
You can't give them everything they want.
We all want them to be successful.
I
want to
go back to Marcellus' original point.
That's a great point, by the way.
You can't give kids everything they want, but Marcellus made the point about parents want to see their kids do it better than they did, and whatever that it is. And so LeBron's it is fame and being in the public spotlight. My father's was running a nightclub in the inner city and being very popular with women. My mother was a factory worker. And again, my parents wanted me and my brother to do something far more meaningful and significant and more pleasing than being a factory worker or running a nightclub in the inner city. There are people out here, and LeBron's not one of them, and maybe you guys are on one. There is far more significant things to aspire to than being famous.
Hold on. LeBron's it is not fame. It's not getting exploited at this age. First of all, his kids are already in a position where they're not going to be normalized.
You're raising your kids not to be exploited? That's the goal?
Hold on. That's not the goal. That is the medium in which they're going to use. YouTube is not our goal. When you get filmed, do you understand that that is a one-way transmission, me to you, and then you're just recording this? Those cameras don't come with poisons. Those cameras don't come with the issues. You can't actually protect the kid from social media. Bronny James was not on Instagram until he was at a certain age.
Last year.
He protected him because he knew. Why don't we respect fully that LeBron is actually doing this with a calculated response instead of just, hey,
well,
I want all y'all to
have you seen LeBron's son do an interview?
Have you seen LeBron get in trouble?
Has LeBron been in trouble?
Let's start with Bronny.
That's not
he has done a great job with Bronny in terms of Bronny's his dad's acting crazy at games and high-fiving dudes and
being a dad.
That's not what dads do.
What? You know what's funny?
Yes, yeah, I coach games. I'm at my son's games.
Yeah.
Moms are worse than dads, by the way.
Uncles are the worst, but let's not go there.
But he has done a great, like, Bronny somehow handles it. Like, they go to Dallas, he barely plays, he doesn't pout. They go to Cleveland, when a couple kids are out, he plays well. Okay, but he has done a good job. But if you don't think that fame is fueling LeBron, why is he acting like an uncle when he's at these games? He loves the attention, loves it. And he assumes that his daughter loves the attention as well.
It's called support.
Man. That's not support.
Well, again, I'll just say this. There's a lot. Look, man, my family, we love soul food. And I had a lot of support in getting to the
That's
soul food table.
That's innately bad for you,
though. No. Trust me. And so is fame.
No, it's not.
And so is fame.
It's a drug.
Putting a five-year-old's life out there to be watched and to entertain a bunch of strangers. I'm just sorry. Joe Jackson did it to Michael Jackson.
That's a dated model, man.
You can't control who watches it.
We got to change the old lens.
New generation.
It's a new generation, yes. A new generation of guys that are watching on YouTube. You can't control who watches it.
My mother loves saying this, and the Bible teaches this, and the history of the world teaches. There's nothing new but the doers. Everything that we think is brand new, it's not. It's already been done. Go study the history of Egypt and how technologically advanced they were and how they were able to build pyramids and things that we still can't do now. There's nothing new here.
Yeah.
There's nothing new.
Well, let's just not pick five names and say those failed and the other 50 that are nameless that are succeeding by the same thing.
You don't think it's dangerous at all?
Nope.
Brady Papinga's back with us. Let's return to the NFL. Sponsored by the Capital One Venture Card, what's in your wallet? The playoffs are right around the corner, but a couple of this year's most hyped teams won't be sticking around. The Rams and the boy genius Sean McVay came back to earth this season, missing the playoffs just a year after getting all the way to the Super Bowl. And maybe the team with the most buzz in the offseason, the Browns, practically imploded from day one and will finish under 500 yet again. All right, the question here is, more disappointing this season, Rams or Browns?
Rams, not even close. The Browns were selling hope, and we were all buying it. But we didn't have anything really materialized. The Rams were in the Super Bowl last year, y'all. Like, for that team to now have personnel questions in play calling, and Sean McVay saying, I don't know going forward if I'm going to have the same role in terms of play calling, that's a lot different than what we're talking about with the Browns, who we all just guessed wrong on that team.
Well, the Browns, I think they're the most disappointing because going into this year, you had, you know, Freddie Kitchens retained because Baker Mayfield had a phenomenal rookie season, and usually your biggest jump as a player is from your first to second year, and they're expecting Baker Mayfield this year to be basically where Lamar Jackson is, and lo and behold, he's thrown more interceptions, he hasn't thrown near as many TDs, and the whole operation there in Cleveland just looks like a huge mess. So to me, that's the biggest disappointment because the expectation of where Baker Mayfield was going to be, which ultimately meant where the Cleveland Browns were going to be, was literally like Super Bowl caliber level, and Baker being like an MVP caliber player, and they haven't even come close.
Yeah, I'm going, and I think this is a photo finish because I do think the Rams Super Bowl deal, but I'm going to lean Browns based off of Myles Garrett suspended for the year. Freddie Kitchens is going to get fired. OBJ probably just completed his worst season of his NFL career. It's total chaos in Cleveland yet again, whereas the Rams are going to rejigger things and rebound probably. No one's lost faith really in Sean McVay. Have they dug themselves a hole by overpaying Jared Goff?
There you
yes.
go.
Yeah.
But people are going to be fired in Cleveland. And so I'm going to say the Browns, that was a real mess they created this year.
Because they sold hope. They didn't sell a real team. They sold hope. So I didn't buy into Freddie Kitchens. Did you? So I didn't go as far with the hope train as most people did. There is a thing called a sophomore slump when we have an entire body of work to look at. And then next year, after this offseason, we're going to be able to pick you apart, Baker Mayfield. They came out this year, have fewer wins so far. So for me, I would look at it like that. When you look at the Rams,
It's crazy that Jared Goff, franchise quarterback, I thought, maybe not. Todd Gurley, franchise running back, I thought, maybe not. And you still think of the genius in Sean McVay, to your point. You don't lose confidence there. But then you look at the O-line. I thought they were great. Top O-line last year. Oh, I guess not. They're bottom. A couple of guys lost in injury and free agency. So what you banked on because you saw results and success, you can't even do that in L.A., whereas Cleveland, we had nothing to bank on.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for LeBron James.
You know, Lord Darkness.
Wow. Who's your big dummy of the day?
Oh, it might be me.
Big dummy of the day goes to the person who said, LeBron James only won 3 championships. He's an underachiever. That makes your life a what?
Hey, I won a championship back in high school.
How much it cost?
All right, let's talk LeBron James.
There, huh?
Lakers blew a 12-point halftime lead last night to fall to Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. Kawhi has now won the first 2 skirmishes in the battle for L.A. Marcellus, are you and Kawhi's Clippers clearly better than LeBron's Lakers?
Duh. I mean, we already beat them twice this year. And then you want to go back, was it 3-1, 3-1, 4-0, 4-0, 3-1, 4-0. Lakers got to make the playoffs first. That's where we are right now with the Lakers. And we know that they are, but the last 6 seasons, they have not. So clearly, the Clippers are the better team in L.A. Duh.
Yeah, I think the Clippers are definitely the better team than L.A. All right, Uncle Jimmy, do you have any thoughts on LeBron James? And, you know, I had a couple of essays today about LeBron.
Essay on?
Not focused. He's not focused, Uncle Jimmy, was my take. That's why he didn't perform.
You enjoy this. You like being the bad guy.
Yes, I do.
You have no problem being the villain.
No.
You embrace being the J.R. Ewing of Dallas.
Los Angeles.
Or seriously, from Game of Thrones.
Cersei. I love Cersei.
Bottom line is, you can't help yourself when it comes to LeBron James. You have to be the bad guy. But you know, here's my thing. I ain't gonna fault LeBron for what happened last night.
LaFault.
Yeah, why?
See, once again, this is why I'm the voice of reason. Let me tell you something. I am the ham hock, Mr. Whitlock, that makes the beans taste good. You understand what I'm saying?
Please.
You see, Uncle Jimmy gonna tell you like it is, because I know how it is.
All right, okay? How is it?
As men, we've all been there. Still thinking we can ball like we used to. LeBron ain't no different. That's what happened to him last night. You know, he resting on his loins.
Laurels.
You know, we've been there. You know, what happened to him last night? Hey, look, his game was off a little bit. He hit a couple of long ones. He like, oh, I got this. We've been there. You been there, Douglas. You know, you give it all you got. You know, that's what you're used to. And you think that's enough. You like this. Because you done gave 4 quarters of the damnedest. You like, whew. And then your girl look at you and say, is that it? That's what the Clippers did to LeBron last night.
That's true.
Look here, man. Ain't nobody on the face of God's green earth pulled their groin muscle more than Uncle Jimmy. Hell, I had my groin muscle pulled yesterday.
Oh, God.
So I can tell LeBron what his problem is. Look, LeBron, you ain't as young as you used to be. Okay, let me be clear to y'all. There come a time in life as a man where you'd rather take a nap than have to give one more command performance. We've been there. Douglas, swear you ain't been watching TV and old lady come walking past in that little scantily clad lingerie with the little string coming up above the thing. Come on, man. Back in your day, you knock a hole in the TV trying to get to it.
Huh? I'm franchised now.
You know, nowadays, she pull that mesh. She's like, girl, you know I got to go to work. You better go on somewhere.
Yeah, right.
LeBron, listen to me, cousin. The sooner you realize this, the better you're going to be. You had your fun. The day in the sun is done. Let AD have his run. Just listen to me, son.
That's
your day
bad.
In the limelight is done.
Ooh, that's pretty good. All right, listen. I've got LeBron at a role
player
level in my approval rating.
Right.
Pretty much stays the same, flat. 14 in job performance, 24 all-time greatness,
yeah.
10 character, 10 authenticity, role player.
Oh, man, I had to go up with LeBron because last time we did this, they lost to the Clippers. This time they lose to the Clippers. But he looked better this game than he actually did the first
he
game.
He did?
The first game? Do you remember that one?
Woo, yeah, right,
all
right.
Bad. Character goes up, authenticity. Don't be jumping on Kevin Hart like that all late. You know that.
All right, the internet disagrees with both of us. They have LeBron as a dumpster fire.
Ooh, shoot.
Wow. 42% dumpster fire.
Hope he doing
all right, happy day after Christmas.